With throughout 2013, the 19th chapter, beginning to read the first verse and reading through to the 10th verse, it is only Luke who tells a story about Zacchaeus, who is a tax collector. In fact, the Greek tells us he's an archetelonis, which is he is the chief tax collector. We're not exactly sure what that means, but we know what tax collectors did. Because when Israel was conquered in 63 BC, by Pompey, the Roman general, suddenly Rome took charge of Israel. And because Rome had bills to meet, what they did was recruit Jews who would act as Roman surrogates to collect taxes. And what they often did too was collect more than the taxes, and they would skim a lot off the top. So that tax collectors were viewed as traitors to the Jewish cause and supporters of the hated Rome. And what we see there then is that Zacchaeus, a tax collector, we're told that he's small of size, but that may also indicate how he is viewed by others as well. We know that he's very wealthy. And we'll also see that he will climb up a sycamore tree, and they were short trees. They could grow, though, to 40 or 50 feet in height with great branches, so you could climb out on a branch and look down on whatever was worth looking down on. So what we're going to see, then, is his change as he confronts Jesus Christ. Hear God's word to us. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead of the crowd and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see Jesus, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So Zacchaeus came down at once and welcomed Jesus gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, This Jesus has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, and goodness knows I have, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to Zacchaeus, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who were lost." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks. I want to talk what I think Christianity is about and what we often forget and what we see illustrated in this story. And that is when one becomes a Christian, or when one begins to sense that he or she is changing in his or her life, there is an excitement which brews. Oh, Algernon Swinburne, one of the great poets of the 19th century, could say, "Oh, I look at you, O pale Galilean Jesus, and the world grows cold with your breath." We don't see that in this text this morning. What we see is a man, diminutive in stature and perhaps too in morality, who suddenly begins to change when he spots Jesus. And what I love about this story is that there is a physicality to it. In other words, when we're excited about life, when we're excited about living, we move a little faster. And we talk a little faster. I mean, if I were to get up this morning and say to you, "Oh, it's so good to have you here. It's so wonderful to worship our Lord and Savior. Aren't you as excited as I am about him?" Well, that's not the way Jesus wants it for any of our lives. Jesus wants to get us excited about living. And that's what the faith is. I mean, when the Holy Spirit comes down and those apostles, they're running around and they can't stop yakking. In fact, they're talking in other tongues as well as the King's English. So what we forget, I think, is when we are not infected, that's the wrong word, but when we are conduced by the Holy Spirit, we're happy and we're excited by life. We move faster. When I was a young minister, 10 years ago, I served under a man named Al Beamer in New Jersey, and he was in his late 60s, and the parsonage was maybe about a quarter mile away. He would run from the parsonage to his office, then run back for lunch, then run back to the office. And, you know, I said to his wife, has he always been like that? And she said, well, yeah, kind of, since I've known him, and they were married for 30 or 40 years. She said, but the older he gets, the faster he seems to run. And she said, that means he has more faith and more energy, and he's not getting older, he's just getting better. He's more excited about living, and that's what Jesus Christ wants for each one of us. Jesus wants our speech to be spiced with joy and love. That's what Scripture tells us. And when we look at those things in the New Testament, which would also indicate that sense of physicality which betokens excitement, we remember those Palm Sunday wave branchers and yelling out hallelujah, and yes, they get it wrong maybe less than a week later, but let's not focus on that. Let's focus on the fact that they were excited about living. Because Jesus Christ had come into their midst. They were excited about living. And we look at 2 Samuel chapter 6 when David brings the ark, the presence of God, into Jerusalem. And David dances before the ark of the Lord. And he's not doing a foxtrot, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, I think he's rock and roll dancing. That's what I think. I think he was ready to land on the floor and do the worm. That's what I think. I know that because Scripture tells us most of his clothes fell off while he was dancing and leaping. And so one of his wives, Michal, said, you know, you're really shaming yourself in doing that. And he said, I am not, because Jesus Christ or God wants me to be excited about God's presence in my life. And that's what God wants for each one of us. God wants us to have that excitement, which only the Holy Spirit can bring. That's what God wants us to have. 2 Samuel 6. David leaps and dances for joy. For joy. Well, you may say, you know, supposing you can't leap and dance, supposing you can't run, how does physicality then betoken excitement in that case? Well, that's an important question, and certainly we've dealt with it as a church because we have that wonderful elevator and lift there, right? For people who are physically challenged and disabled. And that is fully paid for because of the faith of this fellowship and congregation. Fully paid for and then some. So we are concerned with people who have disability. But let me say that in Scripture, disability, physical or otherwise, never acts as a deterrent to the excitement which Jesus Christ can bring us in our lives. David Lester writes about his father. He was always a very active and vital man, but in his 80s, he was slipping a bit, literally as well as figuratively, and he had to go into a nursing home. And he fought that. He fought that just as he had fought, I guess, a year earlier when his son, Mr. Lester, tried to take the car keys away from him. And so he took the car keys away by having his sons take the car keys away. But then Grandpa bribed the grandchildren to get the car keys back. So he was a tough one to get into the nursing home, and we can certainly understand that. We can understand how tough it was for John Lester to put his dad there. So anyway, it became even tougher when the senior Lester moved from a walker to a wheelchair. He said, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. But finally, he was forced to do that. One day, John Lester came to visit his father. And he was scooting around in his wheelchair. And he said, you know, I like it because I can move faster. I can move faster than I could when I was using a walker and when I was using cane. I can move much faster. And so it's easier for me, along with some of my friends who are in wheelchairs, to plot our escape from this place. But then he said, too, it's easier to meet and greet people. And you know how much I love your mother. But she's gone. But there is a woman over, and I get to see her in my wheelchair as much as I want. Movement betokens excitement. Movement betokens the idea that the Holy Spirit is with us and moving us the way the Holy Spirit needs us to move. How important that is. The other thing I'd like to say about this text, too, is that change is rather easy in this context. And it may well be that change in our lives is easier than we think it is. Now, I want to be truthful and faithful to Scripture and say when you look at the Gospel of Luke, sometimes change can be very difficult for the disciples of Jesus Christ. For us, it can be very difficult. Jesus says this in Luke 14, you know, sometimes you have to, Jesus says, hate your mother, father, your wife, your spouse, sisters and brothers. And Jesus really didn't mean that. He was talking about Hebrew hyperbole there. I think what Jesus was saying is that sometimes we have to detach ourselves a little bit from things we love in order to pursue the great pearl of Christ, and that's a relationship with Jesus Christ. So I don't think Jesus was being as hostile as we might make him out to be. But Jesus also says that, you know, sometimes we have to count the cost of what being a Christian means, and we do. Sometimes we do. And Jesus says sometimes it's not difficult. You really have to have a game plan and say, do I want to follow through with this? So, nevertheless, when we look at this text, change comes very easily. The person who is a tax collector, the person who is viewed as the great sinner, this person suddenly changes when Jesus says, come on down out of that tree. And the physicality which we see, you know, the physicality where he runs ahead of the crowd, he climbs up in the tree, he climbs down from the tree, and he stands before Jesus. In that short period of time, he's changed. And the problem I think we face is often we think change is too painful for us. Sometimes we think we're too old to change. Well, I can't change. I've been living this way all my life. And that negates the power of the Holy Spirit to change us in an instant and in a moment. And you know, we have all those trite expressions, right? You can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, maybe if Fido could talk, Fido would say to us, look, I'm tired of playing fetch. I'm tired of rolling over. I'm tired of playing dead. Can you teach me a new trick? And then I'll be a better dog. And we say, you know, well, I can't change. A zebra can't change its stripes. Well, you know, if a zebra could talk, being chased by a cheetah running 60 miles an hour, that zebra would say, oh, please, Lord, can you paint a stop sign on that stripe so that I can change? There is something within us, I think, that wants to change. There is something within us, as young as Lily is, that wants us to move toward Jesus Christ. We may move at a slow pace, but Jesus may take us and transform us in an instant, and we have to honor that as well. And change is wonderful. Change is wonderful. We all need it. And change is wonderful because we understand that our lives will never get old. Our lives will never get stale. Because Jesus Christ is our author of our faith, and as the writer of Hebrews says, the pioneer who leads us toward greater joy and greater hope throughout our lives. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please greet one another this morning.